You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from the 2024 CSUN conference, and I have found Sony and Melanie Mincham, I hope I've got that right, is a usability researcher, and you're going to give us a little bit of a tour of the accessibility features available from Sony.
Hi there. So specifically with the Sony Bravia, the newest version of our TVs, we've got lots of accessibility features for both visually impaired and hearing impaired people. So I'll start off with some of the ones that would help someone who has low vision or blindness. So one of the big things that is new to us is that now, from the moment that someone opens their box for the TV, they can set up the TV by themselves using TalkBack, which is Google's version of the screen reader. So that's a really big deal. We also have text magnification available on the TV, as well as color inversion and grayscale. So that means users can change the colors as they need and influence the contrast to be able to see the details of the actual content of the TV better. And for the hearing impairment portion, we have something called Voice Zoom, where when you turn on the feature, it actually will isolate the dialogue a little bit from the background noise, so it helps people to hear the dialogue better. And also something called volume reset, which essentially allows you to set the volume to your favorite volume level, and every time you turn off the TV, turn it back on, it will always be on that volume. So for a visually impaired user, that's beneficial, because then if you have TalkBack on, you will always be able to hear the TalkBack when you first turn on the TV, right? Because if the volume's too low, maybe a family member turned it all the way down, you won't hear the TalkBack when you first turn it on. Mm. Or if you have a family member who listens to the TV really loud, you can always make sure that, you know, it won't be too loud when you first turn on the TV.
Sure. Can you talk a little bit about the setup experience? Because obviously, yes, now with smart TVs, you know, the first thing you have to do now is kind of connect to the internet and get on your Wi-Fi, you know, to make all those streaming services work. How is that experience for somebody who is blind with a Sony Bravia TV?
Yeah, so we really think about every step of the way, like the packaging, the access to the information guide and things like that. So when you first unbox your TV, you will come across an instruction manual, which is, you can actually feel it, because we have, in our newest products, we're going to have a tactile QR code. So what we've done is we've put essentially a tactile frame around the QR code. So right away, when you touch the packaging, at least you can tell, oh, there's something there. Because that's half of the battle, right? Is knowing where the important information is.
Right. So just for listeners, I will try and describe this. So there's a square. I would say it's probably, I'd say about an inch, the square.
Yeah.
Yeah. So about 2.5 centimeters square. And there is a raised line around the circumference of the square, around the edge of the square, and then in the middle of each side, there's a tiny gap. So it's quite distinctive. And then I also notice outside of the square, so presumably the QR code that I would need to scan is inside that square. So
exactly,
I know where to point my smartphone. And then I can feel outside of the square, there's a dotted line.
Yes. So if you were encountering this on a package, the dotted line is meant to kind of lead you to that tactile QR code.
Okay.
Or the raised QR outline.
So this is really clear. I mean, I guess it's a couple of mils high or something, but it's definitely perceivable. I mean, anybody who's got, you know, obviously if you've got neuropathy in your fingers or something, you're not going to feel it. But if you're used to, you know, reading Braille and you know, you've got reasonable fine motor skills, you're going to very easily pick up this square and know where it is. This is going to be introduced when and on which products?
So we're going to start it off on a few products to start with in the next couple of months. I don't have an exact timeline, but it's coming very soon.
Yeah.
And again, all of this came actually directly from research we've done with visually impaired users. So
yep,
they're the ones who informed us on what felt the best, what would be the most helpful, where to place it. Also the actual contrast of the the piece of cardboard. It's white writing on black background.
Yeah.
So for people with a little bit more sight, it's really easy to distinguish that as well.
Excellent. And so when you said where, so where will we find it? Roughly where will it be? Inside the box, outside the box?
So right now it depends on the product. That's something we're looking to try to standardize within our own products. But right now, currently, if I give the soundbar as an example, when you open the box, there's usually a card there with the QR code. So it's the first thing that you would pull out of the box. And so if you felt this, you know, raised outline, right away you would know, okay, that's important.
And then where's that QR code going to take me then? So a QR code is essentially a link, isn't it?
Yes.
It takes you somewhere. And of course, the thing with QR codes, I find, is that the experience is going to vary quite a bit depending on what happens when you land on the, you know, on the page. So where does that take us, and how do we know if that's going to be an accessible experience?
Yes, and I love this question because it's so true that sometimes the QR code can be really accessible and then you get to the page and you can't get through it with your screen reader, right?
Melanie, tell me about it, right? And I mean, in the UK during COVID, you know, every restaurant in the land, you know, had these things on the table. You would scan it with your phone and suddenly you'd find yourself on some horrible, you know, web page. I'm sure that's not going to happen here. Tell me.
We're definitely paying attention to that. It would take you to a Sony page with the initial setup steps, like the quick setup guide, essentially. And sometimes it will prompt you to download an app to be able to control your devices right from your phone using your own technology that you're used to using, like if you use Siri or something like that, or VoiceOver that you're used to. So really, this is a way to just communicate all of that information and help you find the information you need to.
Just tell me a little bit, if you would, about some of the input blind and partially sighted people are having in this process. You guys have a lab, I believe, in San Diego.
Yes. I should say our lab specifically in San Diego, we do bring people in to try our products there, but we also do home visits. So we go into people's homes, we typically have them try out a TV or other devices and give us feedback right from their living room, where they would be using the devices in their conditions with the lighting that they like, that kind of thing. So we do both, you know, in-person and virtual testing with people who have various amounts of vision.
Excellent. Well, that's wonderful. Is there an accessibility page? Is there a place where listeners can go to learn more about Sony's accessibility efforts?
So it's tinyurl. So tiny is tinyurl.com/Sony Accessibility. Pretty easy.
tinyurl.com/Sony Accessibility.
And if anyone's interested in volunteering with us to give us feedback, that's a way to reach us as well. So we always make sure to give gift cards for participation and transportation. And we really want to hear from the actual users.
Melanie Mincham, researcher with Sony. Thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.